gonna
so I mean, an average school teacher makes $42,000 a year. I mean, yeah. Yeah.
And so you want to say 45?
45.
Just have that be our number?
45 is good. Good. Good.
So you're saying any size household at $45,000 to $2,500?
Yes. Well, less than five people would be $1,500. More than five people would be $2,500. But the income threshold would be $45,000.
Oh, my God. The hours that are spent. And, I mean, I guess understandably because you got to get to the right end result. But the hours spent horse trading, haggling over, you know, Lumen May playing auctioneer, basically, trying to, you know, well, you want 30, I get 45. How about 45? I'm going to get 40. 2,500 or 1,500? And it's just, and they finally settle on this. And I know it's hard to figure out. But this business with distributing the CARES Act money for the county commission has just been a mess, honestly. And they're getting there because everything takes time. One of the things I think, unless I misunderstood the conversation we've landed on now, is because of the price tag of one portal that had been partially paid for to develop, they wound up going instead with paper applications until we can get this other system up and running, which shouldn't be all that long. But let's get a little clarity on this. Joining us now, Janice Gillis. She is the Escambia County Administrator. Janice, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. That's where we're at right now, right? We started on Tuesday, starting to take paper applications for one slice of the CARES Act funding for individuals until we can get this other software system up and running in maybe a week or two. Do I have that right?
Well, actually, we were able to provide an online option through county staff through our portal. So we did receive, I believe it was 824 online applications.
Wow.
And we did get 34 that were mailed and 32 that were in person manually received. And the total request from all of those applications is $2.1 million. However, there was a caveat, and you had to have been impacted by COVID to be eligible. And that amount, whenever you look at the analysis, came down to about $1.1 million from what we've collected so far. And we did advertise the program and let people know that the program would stay open until we expended the funds. Until we received enough eligible applications to expend the funds, and we may be at that point.
Okay.
So, and that particular grant is the rent and housing grant that's through the Florida Housing Finance Corporation. That is their CARES money. The program that you were providing information on will be a program that we will open in a couple of weeks, and that will be our family/household grant. And I'm hoping that the commission today will support our recommendation of the $45,000 as they requested, but we would not have a limitation on the household, and it would be a flat $2,000 grant stimulus for the family, for the household, because, as I'm sure you can imagine, with any federal grant like this, there is a lot of validation and auditing that goes on. And so if we set a limit on the number of people in the household, we physically have to validate that each of the people that we have security cards for actually live in those homes.
Got it.
So we're going to recommend something. We're going to meet the intent that the board asks, but we're going to recommend something that's a little bit easier to manage and audit.
So this is another example of a fine idea in practice to try to create some kind of a limit based on the reasonable idea that if there's more people, you want to help them more, but if there's fewer people, mm-hmm. you don't want to have them taking more of the money. But then you get into the question of validation verification, and we don't want the county to have to be going back into the census business and figuring out who's really there. Let's just simplify this, streamline it, and, you know, take that, which makes perfect sense to me. And that's the one, as you said, that's the individual impact for things like lost income, whereas the other program that's already open and has had almost 900 applications in is for the rental mortgage utility assistance, where you guys wind up paying the landlord or paying the bank directly on behalf of people who have been impacted, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's correct.
All right. Well, it's, you know, I know it's been difficult, but like everything, you know, we've talked about this before, you know, there's rules you have to comply with. There's the potential for audits you have to make sure to defend against. And, of course, you have to do the fair, just, and kind thing in all this process. And these are challenging things to figure out. I wanted to ask you a little bit about jail stuff, because I heard what Director Powell said the other day, and this question of having inmates tested. And then if they test, they have to be isolated, which is why a lot of people have been declining testing. But then I also thought I read a report that we've done more testing, and I thought there's still only one case active in the jail. But can you maybe just give us a kind of where are we at with all of this right now?
Yeah, so what happened was last Thursday there was someone that came off of a crew that looked a little peaked and had a fever. So our COs and our folks were doing the right thing when they were trying to identify any symptoms, things like that. And so that was at the work annex. So what we did was when the person came to the infirmary at the jail and then was tested, they did test positive. So we did temporarily halt work at the annex, and we were very fortunate to be able to work with Community Health Northwest to get an analyzer out at the work annex. And so at the work annex, we had 78 negatives and 11 positives. And we did have room at the jail for them to move to a pod at the jail. So that, and it's not quarantine, but it's obviously a unit now where the folks can all be together in that particular unit. And then the other thing is, as far as I know of yesterday, none of them were just demonstrating any symptoms, so they were asymptomatic positives.
Okay, and then the complaint letter that had kind of gone out, just for people who might have seen that and not heard the conversation about this, the complaint letter from the women, who I guess the women are at the road camp, or are they at the work release center?
They're at work release.
They're at work release, okay. And they had complained that somebody had tested positive and they were not able to get testing, and Director Powell had said, well, we told them that if they get tested, we have to move them into isolation because presumably there's a reason for them getting tested, and so they all declined. Is that still the status with them?
I've not been given an update on that particular situation other than the information that he has presented this past week.
Okay. All right, fair enough. And I understand that answer. That's fine. One of the other things that is going to be on, well, I guess we always run out of time with you. The county has got so much stuff going on. No, it's not your fault. It's my fault for having these, limitations on the time that we can devote. I wanted to ask you about this E-date that's proposed today for Navy Federal for their expansion. What would the impact to the county be of that item?
So that particular item, what it is it's where we trade off, economic development in lieu of taxes for the, the tangible property. I do not remember the number right off the top of my head, but, whenever you create deals for economic development, we all know that the return on investment that Navy Federal has made has been extremely substantial, and, we're just very thankful to have them as a partner in the community. So, The number escapes me at this moment, but I can certainly make sure I get that.
But that's something that's going to be on the agenda this morning. And again, I apologize. I went to the acronym out of habit. But the Economic Development Ad Valorem Tax Exemption, that's where, like you say, somebody builds a thing, and as an incentive to reward them for building a thing, you don't collect the taxes on the property for so many years in order to offset some of their costs and get the thing built so that you have the more jobs and whatever. We're talking to Janice Gilley.
Yeah, they have the metrics. They have to meet the metrics of maintaining a certain number of employees at a certain wage rate. So there are metrics closely tied that they do have to demonstrate to us each year.
Which is always good. It's not just kind of, hope and chance. There's actually something involved there with a provision. If they don't meet those, obviously, that there can be consequences. The meeting is today. I always like to ask you, because this is absolutely your area, anything on the meeting today that's agenda this morning and then the regular meeting tonight at 5:30, anything on there that you think people would like to know about that they might not have realized is going to be up today?
So today, DPZ will be presenting their plan for the citizens to participate in the master planning of OLF-8.
Oh, okay.
And so they're going to make that presentation this morning for agenda review. And then we will obviously still be talking about the CARES Act. And I did want to mention, one of the things that has come up through our conversations with the CARES Act with the commissioners is talking about the internet situation, where we have so many people now that need a more robust internet access. And we are looking at ways that we might be able to get a study done that could help us, with that implementation in the future. Because as I know you've seen, kids sitting outside of a Taco Bell, trying to do their homework, or, other places, Whataburger and things like that around the country and even locally, has been really, really disturbing that, it seems like, just like electricity, it does seem like internet is one of those things that we're all going to have provided to us. And so I hope that the providers will work more closely with the communities and the citizenry in trying to provide that service.
Yeah, we had a really, I don't know if you heard it because I never want to assume the fact, but on Monday we had a really long conversation with Commissioner Underhill about this, which of course, as you know, that's relatively his area, even though he wasn't able to be at the meeting last week because of being on orders. And it's really interesting, some of the stuff that he had to say about that. And I'm sure when this comes up, since he'll be there, he'll bring up a lot of those points as well. I always like to give you a chance because you are my only interview that does this, and it's actually kind of fun. You're the one who sometimes likes to ask me a question, so I get to play interviewee for just a second. Do you have a question for me this week, Janice?
Yeah, I do. So everybody can get to know you better. If you could have one superpower, what would it be?
Oh, see, I've always loved flight. Just because I think it would be so much fun. And, of course, I got to fly with the Blue Angels the one time and all that. But I will tell you that the invisibility is the one that's always been like. But, I really do think, if you had the ability to turn invisible, you'd just get in trouble. You'd be so tempted to do bad things.
Yes, I love it.
No, but I think, honestly, if you actually said, as a practical matter, what would you... I think the one I would take would be teleportation, because then you could travel. You wouldn't have to get the COVID on the airplane. You could... Because I'm the guy who's
that does sound practical.
That's right. I'm right up against the time when I'm coming to work, so this would mean I wouldn't have to take 5 minutes to drive. I could just boop, boop, and I could be here immediately. I just think of all of the savings that would be had to me if I could teleport. So probably if it comes down to it, that'd be the one. Do you have one?
That's great. Oh, flight. Flight is mine, without a doubt.
Yeah, flight is pretty. And just the ability to see the world differently, I think, would be what's so cool about that. Janice Gilley, she is the Escambia County Administrator, and it's always a pleasure, Janice. Thanks for the time. We look forward to the meetings this morning and tonight.
Yes, sir. Have a good day.